thing I'm not looking forward to is like children's
Blush
programming.
And wash and get on your way.
I mean, pottying I'm very much looking forward to every day, but not
because you're changing diapers every day.
Not the children's repetitive programming.
Mm-hmm. You get to meet, I mean, characters you never thought that you'd know. Real conversations about those make-believe characters that really don't exist in real life. I mean, I guess I can relate that to Game of Thrones. I have real conversations about those people.
About fictional characters,
yeah. Right. I don't know. But at least they're real people. They're not like... Oh, wait, they're not. I mean, they're like in human form. They're not animated, I guess is what I'm saying.
That's going really well.
Just keep talking.
No, I think I'm done. I think I'm done with that.
The best. Okay, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast, where we are exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday mornings. This is Patrick Nazaroff, and with me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
Hi, Patrick. How are you doing?
And Katie Phillips.
Welcome back, Patrick.
Hey. Thank you. Back in the studio.
We're so glad to have you here.
It has been...
For our listeners,
it's only been 1 week, but for me, it's been a few weeks to not be together to talk faith and life and all these...
Admittedly, for our listeners, it probably felt like a much longer time because just Katie and I, it was a little bumpy.
I
think we did fine.
Rough around the edges.
I mean, right, Patrick?
Yeah, I got to be a listener and I very much enjoyed what y'all were talking about. I'm sad I was not here to participate in the conversation, but now I'm back.
Maybe we'll do the conversation again.
Just run it back.
Yeah. Take that. Rewind it back.
We've done it before.
Patrick Nazaroff's got the beat.
That's a song.
It is a song.
Yes, it is.
All right, so...
Throwback to 2000.
Tell people where you've been. Yes,
I've been on paternity leave.
Vacation Hawaii for 4 weeks.
Yes, I wish Hawaii. No, with my son, Timothy Daniel Nazaroff. My wife gave birth on...
What's his social security number?
Ooh, I don't have it memorized.
What kind of parent are you?
I know. Do you have your kids?
Of course, but I'm not going to release it on a podcast. That'd be ridiculous. I'll tell you off mic.
Okay. I do not. Yeah. I have to go find the card.
Terrible parents. Well, how will you ever be able to identify your child when the world comes to an end?
We're going off the rails. Patrick, reel us in.
Yes, April 17th, my wife had our son, and we've gotten a chance to get to know him, explore what parenting means, and it's a lot different than I think we understood or could possibly prepare ourselves for. So we're going to talk a lot about parenting today, specifically about how becoming a parent has helped shape our ideas on faith and how in Scripture God is identified often as a parent. The air conditioning just kicked on. So we're going to be looking at those things. But first, we've got some news. Okay, thank you.
All right.
It's a fade.
It's fade out. Okay.
I missed that. Yeah, as part of our time at home.
Well, she just does that around the office now.
I bet. Just walks around. Yes.
I have an announcement. Do-do-do-do-do-do. And then she tells us all what she wants to say.
It's breaking news.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Those don't quite go together.
They go hand in hand.
That's a trumpet, right? Laughter, hear ye, would be like a...
I think the trumpet comes first to get because the trumpet's louder.
Oh, news, go.
Gosh, off the rails. All right, Pastor David, you are not a condiment fan, correct?
There are many condiments that I don't care for, but I don't. Yeah, it's
kind of all of them.
Not like I like Italian dressing. I like, and I like.
That's dressing.
Well, how is that not? It's a condiment.
Okay.
All right.
Barbecue sauce, I like.
If you're saying I like Italian dressing as your condiment, you don't like condiments.
I do not like the holy trinity of condiments, which would be ketchup, mustard, and mayo. Yeah, I do not care for ketchup, mustard, or mayonnaise.
Do you like honey mustard?
Occasionally, but it has to be heavy on the honey and light on the mustard.
Oh my god.
I really prefer honey.
All right, well, Heinz maybe has something that'll tickle your fancy here. We've got some new condiments.
I'm yet to ever see something from Heinz that tickles my fancy. So
new
we'll
condiments
see.
Coming out. Cranch.
This already sounds gross. Yeah. This sounds terrible.
You want to get some cranch in your life?
I don't think I do. Okay. Is this something in a ranch?
How is it spelled?
With a K?
K-R-A-N-C-H.
How else would you spell cranch?
Cranch.
C-R-A-N-C-H?
Okay, right. So it's with a K. Yes, cranch is the combination of ketchup and ranch dressing.
Which is basically Thousand Island?
No, Thousand Island is ketchup and mayonnaise.
I feel like this is still basically Thousand Island dressing.
I don't really see what I would ever put Cranch on. What would you eat Cranch with?
French fries.
French fries?
Sticking nothing.
Maybe French chicken fries. Tenders?
You would take this out to your backyard and burn it to make a sacrifice to
Do
whoever.
Do you not like ranch?
No.
You don't like ranch?
No.
You don't like ketchup?
No.
This is why we can't have this conversation with him.
So that's not like, not interested in the Cranch.
No.
Now, if I get like a Chipotle ranch or something like that, that's like heavy on the Chipotle and light on the ranch.
Goodness gracious.
Oh my gosh.
Like, even when you eat a salad, you won't have ranch dressing?
No, that's why I said I like Italian dressing. Or like a balsamic vinegar or something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. All right, well, Cranch is not it. They have some other ones.
They've got more?
Oh, yeah, they have more.
And this spawn has unleashed itself upon the world.
All right. Mayo must.
That just sounds
mayonnaise
smelly.
Mayonnaise and mustard.
Mayo Correct. Must.
Mayo must.
Nope. A new fragrance from Calvin Klein.
Yes. I got a whiff of your mayo must.
Ooh.
Ah! Okay.
Mayo Q.
I was just imagining like a mayonnaise-smelling cologne.
Yes.
Mayonnaise and mustard-smelling cologne. Like that's.
I apply it every morning.
Beneath little the armpits. Dab, little dab, yep. Right behind the ears.
Mayo Q.
Barbecue sauce and mayonnaise?
Barbecue sauce, yes. And mayo chup.
Mayo chup.
Mayo chup. That's my dad's favorite.
Mayonnaise and ketchup?
Yep.
Wow.
I bought it for him when I saw it at HEB.
Okay.
It's like, Dad,
so not only does this thing exist, but you've actually
bought it. Not for me personally,
but
I'm
you
not
have
a big
paid
fan.
Money to
paid,
a company
like
for
three,
this product. No,
three
doesn't matter.
$3 and
there
cents.
Is a monetary transaction.
There was a monetary transaction.
Sure. So I know you are not a fan of condiments here. So which of these four would be the most likely for you to try?
I would prefer to be taken home to meet my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
You'd rather die.
I'm good. Okay. I had a good run. My life insurance is up to date. It's
imagine there's an 18-wheeler carrying just a vat of Cranch, you know. It crashes on the freeway.
Yeah.
In the middle of this vat of Cranch,
yeah.
Your daughter, you have to swim through this Cranch to get to her. She's crying, screaming. What do you do here? What's your game plan here?
I mean, I close my mouth. I'm not going to eat my way to my daughter in the middle of this rain.
So it's like in your nose and your ears and your face.
I mean, how do you swim through anything? I don't know.
What if you did have to, like, inhale it all just to get to her, you know? Just.
I think she and I would be very happy together in heaven. we'll go down together. I don't know what to tell you here.
Sorry, baby. It's Cranch.
I'm going down with her. It's not like I'm just leaving her on her own. I'm just saying, let's. Yeah. You know what?
I probably would not hate mayo must on like a sandwich or a hamburger.
What was the one with barbecue sauce? Mustard.
Mayo Q.
Yeah. Mayo Q. That's got potential.
Yeah, I would do mayo Q.
No, I like mustard. I like mayonnaise. All right, so yeah. That'd be the one I would.
So like I like. Pretentious mayonnaise, which is aioli's,
oh my gosh.
Right? So like aioli's with like garlic.
Not like a Miracle
or,
Whip.
No. But like a again Chipotle aioli or a garlic aioli or something like that, where it's got a little bit more flavor and it's not just like that weird tanginess of like So yeah, that mixed with some barbecue sauce.
Well, I actually have a follow up to our story. This is story part two. So mayo chup. None of us wanted to eat the mayo chup.
Truth.
The mayonnaise and ketchup. Yeah, I'm not super into that. It has an unfortunate translation in Cree, and that's a Native American language.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
So the mayo kind of sounds like their word for feces or poop.
Excellent.
And chup kind of sounds like their word for eye or face. So mayo chup sounds like poop face
or poop eye.
Poop on your face.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I think it's probably a more adult version of those words, too.
Sure. You know? It's not the polite version.
Not the polite, yeah. We're cleaning this up for our young listeners.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't use potty words here on the podcast.
But, yeah. So, yeah, mayo chup could be an insult in Cree language, and it's probably an insult if it's served to you when you're over someone's...
I'm certainly insulted if anyone ever serves it to me.
If somebody brought you some mayo chup.
I'm immediately insulted. And now I can say, you know, now I have like a legit reason to be offended. Uh-huh. How dare you? You cannot say such a thing to me.
Oh goodness.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Are we going to like start calling people a mayo chat? Like, oh, you're such a mayo chat.
Heinz should not run their things by the Cree people to get approval.
You're such a poop face.
No, a mayo chat, Katie.
Yeah, a poop face.
Poop face would be inappropriate. we don't call people poop face. It's not nice.
Yeah. All right, there you go.
All right.
All your favorite
I've
condiments
a lot today.
Coming from Heinz.
All coming into one. Mm-hmm. So when are they going to have the granddaddy of them all that combines ketchup, mustard, and mayonnaise into one?
That's like Chick-fil-A sauce at Chick-fil-A. It's all three.
Okay, but when is Heinz going to sell it?
I don't know.
Because clearly they can't just call it Chick-fil-A sauce.
You could get on your Twitter and contact Heinz directly.
I don't want to be
responsible. What would be the name of all three together? Mayo must chup. It's probably an even bigger insult than Cree.
Oh, we are sorry for whatever Patrick just said. We apologize.
Let's talk about parenting.
All right. Speaking we're doing a great job of it right now.
So. Probably speaking of weird eating habits, it's going to involve kids.
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
So like I said at the top of the podcast, I've been a parent now for about 5 weeks at time of recording. Pastor David, about 3 years.
Three and a half years. Give me full credit, man.
Yeah. And Katie, 8 years.
8 years.
She's the legend.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're the one who knows what they're doing, evidently. we're following
I'm
behind.
Keeping them alive.
Hey,
then I think that's a success.
That's right.
Yes.
When you set achievable goals.
Right. There's Cranch on the dinner table every night.
Just icing.
and they're alive.
Right.
What can you help for?
Rivers of Cranch at the Phillips household.
Yeah, so it's been a fun 5 weeks trying to get to know our son, get to know what it's like to be a parent.
Sure.
I can definitely say, you know, going into this, you know, my wife kind of had the experience of, like, being pregnant, feeling the baby kick move, those differences and changes. So I think she was becoming a parent much earlier than I was. Like, I don't, you know, before that, our baby was kind of like theoretical.
Yeah.
Like, yes, there is a baby coming. Yes, we are getting prepared. But it didn't really sink in for me until holding the baby for the first time.
I think that's pretty true of most first-time dads. Right? Yeah. I think that we come from that perspective of we see something happening. We feel like,
sure,
hey, we're supposed to be getting this room ready and packing a bag for this thing. But, like, until you, like, hold this child, it doesn't really, it doesn't become real until that moment. Okay, I assume that's probably not the same experience that most first-time moms have.
No.
Let me quickly put you in your place. Yep. Please be my guest.
No, you do. I mean, the first time you feel movement, the first time you feel the baby kick, the first time, I mean, you feel all the pain, you feel all the joy, you feel it all, every bruised rib, everything. I mean, it's definitely different when you actually have your baby in your arms,
sure,
you know, than when you have this thing growing inside of your belly, you know.
Sure.
I did feel like a mom, you know, when the first time I felt Shane move.
Yeah.
You know, oh my gosh, there is this thing inside of me, you know. It's not just this magic heartbeat happening on this Doppler,
sure.
You know.
Sure.
So.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, it's for me, holding our son for the first time was, you know, just surreal moment of like, oh my gosh, what is happening, and also the level of like responsibility in my life like crashing onto you at once.
Yeah.
Of like, now I have this soul that I am in charge of and to care for, and that has been like entrusted to me, and I don't know if I can do this, you know, all those things going on at once.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess for us, you know, you get a couple of days in the hospital, like, ease into it. We gave birth in the hospital, so the nurses come in, they help teach you what to do, swaddle the baby, things like that. Ask you, how many times has the baby been pooping, peeing, all these things? And then they're like, you guys got a car seat, right? And we say yes. Like, bye.
See ya.
And we're like,
you're like, now what?
Yeah, do I call you to tell you if my baby pooped? Like, how does this work? And who's coming home with us? Like, right?
Yeah.
Like, who's going to be there tonight when he starts crying and we don't know what to do? Who's
you
gonna,
are.
Yes. So that's kind of like this weird transitional moment.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask, for becoming a parent, did that change or shape the way you see God? Because in Scripture, God is going to use the analogy of parent often.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the two most popular analogies of how God relates to his people is parent or spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And those, probably not a surprise, those are the two most intimate relationships we have in our life, you know, both to our parents and to our children and then to our spouses. And so that there's no surprise that's the most intimate way that God describes what it's like to be in relationship with God. All right, so did that change or shape the way you saw God or experienced God when you became a parent?
For sure. I always thought God's love is unconditional for me. That's great. Don't really know really what that means until you have your own child. Mm-hmm. And then you go, oh my gosh, like I would jump in front of a moving vehicle for this person. I wouldn't go
not Cranch.
Unless that vehicle contained Cranch.
Let's not go crazy here.
Like, just, I would do anything for them before I did it for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's just this unconditional love. And, like, experiencing that and loving something so much, you realize, oh, that's how God feels about you. And not only that, but the fact that my kids can make me absolutely insane 1 minute and then turn around and make me just love them the next minute. I think that's God's way with us, too. Like, we mess up. We are not always going to be perfect, obviously. And neither are our children. And I think having that forgiveness and, you know, just God loves us anyway. And that's the same thing with our kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. I think my understanding of God's willingness to forgive me was a big kind of change in my life. Yeah, like Katie said, like all of a sudden, you know, I can love this child, and I'm experiencing the ways that I can forgive in ways that I never knew that I could forgive before. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I'm also seeing in this child their uncanny ability to forgive me, like because you know, as a first time parent, I got lots of stuff wrong, right? I mean, I never put the diaper on backwards, but I'm sure that I put it on too tight, or I swaddled the wrong way, or I didn't burp when she needed to be burped, or I tried to burp when she didn't want to burp, or whatever it was. And yet, every time you know, I would turn around, she was just smiling at me again. Mm-hmm. And you know, sometimes sure it was gas, but you know, other times it was like a real like I love you, and I experienced this feeling that she can't even fully express but that I can understand. And I think that sometimes that's what it is for us with God, right? That God can't even fully express to us the love that God feels for us, but we get these little glimpses and these moments, even in the midst of the things that we screw up and the things that we're trying to do right, we get these glimpses of those places where God continues to love us. And yeah, that's been a powerful witness for me, too.
Yeah, I can still identify with that, like, screwing up, not sure entirely what I'm doing, the questions of, like, feeding too much, feeding too little, is a swaddle right, is it wrong, and then going online and none of your fears being, like, taken care of, because everything is, like, conflicting.
Yeah. It just makes you even more fearful. Yeah. Right. Like, wait.
not one thing out there is like, you should try this, but not that. And then the next website says, definitely don't do what the first website said to do. Yep. It's just like, oh my gosh, what do you even do? Like, how do you even make it? For me, I think holding my son, though, for the first time was a really cathartic experience of like, I'm holding my child, and I'm not even sure he knows I exist. That he even realizes that there's something holding him right now, and that I'm father, I'm related, I'm going to care and protect for him. I don't think, I doubt he can recognize any of those things. Like his brain is even able to process those things. Mm-hmm. And yet, from me towards him is this love that Katie, you were talking about, this unconditional love already guiding towards there. And he cannot give any of that love back to me at this point. Like there's nothing he can do to show love back. He's only going to cry, poop, eat, sleep, fart. Like
repeat.
That's it. That's all he can do. Yeah. And so, like, but, like, I am bringing in love even if he doesn't realize it. You know, even if he can't connect it. It's not like in the future he's going to even recognize, oh, yeah, I remember how you woke up every, you know, 3 a.m. with me to hold me and feed me and love me and change my diaper. He won't even remember any of these things.
But he'll remember it when he has his first child, because then he's going to be in it.
Well, I don't remember my parents.
You won't remember.
I mean, you don't remember it, but you can identify that this is what happened.
And so I think that definitely connects a lot to how I think for much of mankind, maybe I can't even understand or see the ways God is loving and caring for me, and yet it's still there. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's in the history of my relationship with God, I've gotten glimpses more and more of those things, but they were still there even when I did not know they existed.
Sure.
And I think that's a pretty powerful thing.
I think there are even points now, right, where we as adults can understand what it means to refuse to acknowledge that love. I mean, you know, Timothy at this point doesn't even have the ability to refuse your love. And yet we realize and we understand that there's this loving God who wants to care for us, protect us, offer us life, et cetera, et cetera. But there are plenty of people who say, I don't believe that that exists.
Yeah.
Right? But if Timmy were to say, I don't believe my dad exists, is not going to change that you are there loving him, caring for his every need, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's a valuable thing for us to remember, too, about God, that God does not need us to believe in God in order for God to exist.
Yeah.
That God exists outside of our belief, and it's separate from it. It's not Tinkerbell, right? We don't have to clap our hands and show that we believe for God to come back to life. Mm-hmm. God is God.
Yeah, his kicking is not going to change. It's not going to stop me from changing his diaper.
Right. Yep.
So, you know, like, even if he does not want that at this moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or does he? He doesn't even, know his legs exist.
Right.
Who knows? Yeah. Yeah, so I think that's pretty powerful, though, to kind of be a parent. So in this analogy of, you know, God as parent in Scripture, you know, maybe let's take a look at this. Why do you think, are there any other reasons you can think of why the biblical authors use this analogy often to describe our relationship with God? I'm only a parent of a 5-week-old, mm-hmm. so I'm a pretty small sample size of what it means to be a parent.
Sure.
You know, so, but you guys have parents with older kids. Does this enlighten you in different ways of, like, why God as parent matters as an analogy?
I think there's a rearing, if that's a word. Am I making that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, the way in which parents raise their children up, you know, we want what's best for them. And we have learned lessons sometimes the hard way and want our children to be able to learn from those lessons without having to repeat them themselves. And I think that God often wants that for us. I don't know that we always respond. I mean, just like our kids will push and will demand on learning the lesson themselves. I don't know that God always get that. But I think there's just that persistence that at its best, parenting never fails the child. And it loves the child. It disciplines the child. It directs the child. It cares for the child. But it never fails the child at its best. Now, we all fall short as parents, and so that is not saying that any earthly parent can ever achieve that. But I think there's something to that image that God wants that same thing for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, humanity has been parenting children from the beginning of humanity.
Right.
You know, maybe individually we're failing, but collectively we're bringing on more and more generations.
Yeah.
I think that's a powerful thing.
Right. Well, and God, you know, in Genesis, we hear God kind of birthed this creation. I mean, that's not the language that's used explicitly, but God is creator. God is the source of all life. And so, especially for kind of a pre-Enlightenment understanding of how biology works and how procreation works, right? This idea of creator is the only understanding we really have is creator is parent, right? And so even artists would describe, like, paintings and sculptures as their children, because, you know, that's our understanding. Like, if you're the one creating, you are the parent. It was just kind of, it's how we talked about that relationship.
Sure. So going into our pregnancy, Kat and I had a tradition where kind of every night I would read to her this book by a comedian called Jim Gaffigan called Dad is Fat. It was his book about parenting. He's a parent of 5 children. He kind of said, like...
You read the same book every night?
We read a chapter of the
book. Oh, it's a long book.
It's a long book.
Okay.
It's a chapter book.
It's not like a...
That's what you call it when you're 8.
Well, we were getting ready.
Chapter book. Chapter
book today.
We're getting prepared to be a parent by just reading the same book over and over and over again.
It's a good life lesson. I wouldn't have stepped into that earlier than necessary.
A chapter or two at a time. Mm-hmm. He is pretty funny. He is father of 5 kids in New York City. And he said, if you want to know what it's like being a parent of 5 children, imagine you're drowning and somebody hands you a baby.
Awesome.
And in this book, he talked about what it was like to give birth and this idea of, like, the dad, like, cuts the umbilical cord.
Yeah.
And I didn't get to cut the umbilical cord because my wife gave birth through C-section.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think... So everybody here has experienced C-section.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, in the book, about cutting the cord, which I thought was pretty funny as we were reading it, it describes, like, this idea of, like, this symbolic gesture that the dad gets to do, probably because, like, we got to invent something for dads to do. Because what am I really doing during this birthing process beyond being terrified?
Right.
You supporting your wife.
You know, bringing her water, Right. Having her mad because she's
more
going to labor.
Chips.
Ice chips. You know, I got ice chips whenever you need it, baby. I'm ready with the ice chips. That's kind of what I got. And so there's something for the dad to do is cut the cord. It's this, like, symbolically releasing your child from the mother's care before immediately returning the child back to the mother's care. You know, and that's pretty funny because that's kind of what it's like as a as a dad of, like, My wife is kind of the prime parent. I'm definitely vice parent at this point.
Right.
Because she, you know, birthed the child, can feed the child, has a more tender connection to our son through the labor process. But it's interesting because in scripture, God, the analogy will be God as father and not God as mother. In fact, I don't think it ever is explicitly stated God is our mother.
Right.
In scripture. Now, that doesn't mean there's not
feminine analogy.
Yeah, sure. I think.
Like a mother hen gathers her chicks,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Jesus will say that about Israel. Right. Like he wishes to gather Israel up like a mother hen.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's an analogy. Are there any other analogies where we see, like, the feminine, or quickly see the feminine aspects?
Sure. Yeah, you got, like, Proverbs where wisdom, this aspect of God, is described as a woman and using the feminine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have that.
Sure.
It's not that God is without feminine expression, but is never explicitly referenced as mother in that particular relationship, which is a unique relationship, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess so, too. Jesus, in most of the analogies that are parables that Jesus uses, the stand-in for God is usually like king or something like that. But in one of them, in Luke 15, it's a woman who loses a coin.
Yep.
And so, and there's no reason for that to be a woman or a man, but Jesus, I think, is intentionally sometimes using woman as the stand-in there for the God character or the Holy Spirit or the church, however you want to read those things. So how do we respond to this idea that God as Father is how it's typically presented in Scripture?
Well, me personally, I'm okay with it.
Okay.
Like, I don't even know that I have a gender, like a specific gender for God in my own brain.
Yeah.
Like, God's kind of like a neutral being, bigger than I am, bigger than anything, but I don't even really have like a clear picture in my head of what God would look like. It's, I don't know. It's so bizarre, I guess.
I'm going to ask. No, it's not bizarre, but I am going to ask a question because you grew up. I mean, you've told us on the podcast before. You grew up in a Lutheran household, so with fairly traditional Lutheran teachings, I would assume, and probably virtually explicitly feminine language, or sorry, masculine language for God.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would assume, and this is perhaps unfair, but I would assume that in your congregation growing up, people referred to God as He,
right,
and referred to God as Father,
right,
and never referred to God as Mother or anything else other than He,
right.
Right. So I'm curious how you kind of came to a neutral understanding of, like, what was that journey like for you?
I don't know. Maybe it's because, oh, see, and this is where the whole Trinity comes in play.
Sure.
Because obviously we have pictures of Jesus. I mean, I've seen pictures of Jesus.
Well, I mean, they're
Jesus
not like photographs.
Man. We know.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, but you know what I mean.
I followed him
like,
on Instagram.
Right. I liked him on Instagram. Saw all of his photos.
Yep.
Jesus
_ Savior.
Enough. Okay. So, in my head, clearly Jesus was a male, right?
Right. Sure.
And
I mean,
was
no
a
one
person
yeah,
walked
no one
the earth.
No one doubts that.
Like.
Yeah.
God was not a person. Like, it's so it's hard. Like, I just didn't ever.
But God was fully present in Jesus.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So, this is when the Trinity becomes interesting for me.
Sure.
So, I don't know. I mean, yes, God was always referenced as He, but I don't have a picture for.
Well, so for many people, they hear.
I mean.
For God.
God. For God, yeah.
So for many people, they hear that masculine language their whole life, and so they just grew up with this image of, you know, the old bearded guy in the sky.
Sure.
Like, I mean, that just because we hear He over and over and over, we just kind of.
Right.
And so it's just interesting to me. This is not to say that it's wrong. I think it's appropriate to have a more neutral vision of understanding of God is bigger than our understanding of a gender definition.
I wonder, now we're going deep here. I wonder if, like, I just thought, not that I didn't think about God, because I did, but, like, maybe I just thought more about Jesus.
Could be.
I mean, I don't know. This is going deep.
And it's going in a different direction.
Right.
Than I think
sorry.
We're intended
okay.
to. So we'll maybe bring that back another time. We think about this this God as Father image, and certainly from the standpoint of how people in the ancient world would have understood creation. I don't want to get too deep into the biology lesson here, but from their perspective, men were the only ones responsible in creation, right? Because there's a physical thing that you can see that happens for men in the process of creation. they're solely responsible for it. And so for someone to have given birth to the world, as we talked about, to have birthed this new creation, then clearly that thing had to be, that being had to be male in, in their understanding. Now, I mean, there are other understandings of that in other cultures. You know, you can look at the Roman cultures of with feminine gods and things like that, but that was not the understanding of the Israelite nation at the time.
Yeah, you know, personally, I grew up in a conservative background biblically, so hearing God as Father, and we here at church will say our Father who are in heaven. We will say I believe in God the Father Almighty, part of our language that we use on Sunday mornings, and it's probably easy as a guy, but I really just don't have a problem with it.
Right.
And I'd say again, that's an easy step as a guy.
Yeah.
I can definitely say that. So there's certainly people in our world, country, community that those are big obstacles for.
Yeah.
That the idea of God presented as masculine is difficult.
Right.
And I want to be sympathetic to that while at the same time saying I do not share in that same conviction.
Right.
You know, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and one of the things that's important for us to realize is that just because we use a word like Father to describe God does not mean that God is bound by that word.
Sure.
And it does not mean that it has to correlate directly with our understanding of like the Father that we see next to us on the street. Right. I mean, that God is, we use words that fall short of God all the time to try to describe God. I mean, that's why Jesus will say over and over, the kingdom of God is like this, but it's also like this, and it's also like this, because no one image or metaphor can fully encapsulate that in the same way that no one image or metaphor can encapsulate God.
And maybe, too, it's that God provides all good traits of what a father and a mother are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. For me personally, it's not necessarily the masculine imagery that was obstacles for me to come to terms with God, but it was the word itself, Father. Yeah. I have a complex relationship with my parents, and that's I think a safe and easy way to kind of talk about our relationship, and that's tough, you know, like growing up with a complex relationship with your father, with your parents, and then coming into this analogy of God is like a parent can be difficult, I think, for a lot of Christians to kind of come to terms with. And I think even for kids with great parents, they are not perfect parents.
Sure.
They're parents who have failed them on some level or aspect, and that's also tough to hear right now or to embrace that I will one day fail my son.
But the hope is that God fills in the gaps.
Yeah, that God is the parent I should have had. Mm-hmm. God is the parent my son should have had. Even as I'm doing my best to love and care for him, God is there to be the best possible father that I could not be.
Right.
And I think that that is a powerful thing as well. And I think for me, getting to that place of God was the father that I truly desired, and my parents could not meet that same level, and coming to terms with that.
Well, no one's going to meet that same level.
Sure.
Doesn't matter who you are and how great of a parent you think you are.
Hey, but I don't want to dismiss somebody who has like really, you know, and I'm not saying I had this, but really horrific relationships with their parents.
Yes.
Where they're not just bad, not just not a perfect parent, they're detrimental parents.
Absolutely.
They're abusive parents.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so God, even in those situations, God is the parent that they should have had. God is that person. And I think that that's a powerful way to remember that that's why that is, this analogy exists.
Right.
Well, all right. Do we have any other thoughts right now about how God acts as parent or God as father or mother or anything else we want to kind of discuss?
I think this is good.
I
appreciate this conversation. Thanks for sharing your 5 weeks of wisdom with us, Patrick.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that, yeah.
Yes, I look forward to getting a good night's sleep. I'm here. It happened sometime.
It will.
Right?
Someday it will return
again. It will.
Again.
When
it will.
He stays with grandparents. Yes.
Probably not even then, at least for a while, yeah. I don't, the first time that we did not have Sophia with us, neither of us slept well, because we were just like, A, we're used to it.
Sure.
And B, it's like, wait.
The terror, yeah.
Yeah, like not that we think they're doing something wrong, but just like you wake up and you're so used to something crying or something.
And then it startles you when it's so quiet.
Yeah.
What's happening? What's wrong? Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Something must be wrong because
A couple weeks into being at home, my wife woke me up and said, something's wrong with the baby. And I leapt out of bed and ran to the little bassinet and looked in there and he's fine. And I look over my wife and she's asleep. I'm like, what has happened? What is happening right now?
That's. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty great.
Yes.
Good work, Kat. Keep that up.
Yeah.
We're gonna train Kat to continue that process.
It is recommendation time.
Woo!
Did you come up with a theme song while I was gone, Katie?
No.
Katie had one job.
My gosh.
Yes, to come up. No.
Well, that's what we're paying you for song. Here.
Yes. I know, right?
All right. But you're going to give us a recommendation?
I am going to give you guys a recommendation and all of our listeners. So,
listeners tune out at this point. So, don't do that.
If you haven't heard about Love and Logic, I recommend that you check it out. It is a process in which parents and educators, anyone, interacts with their children, whether it's discipline or just building relationships, allowing for choices. It's really awesome. I like it a lot. It comes from a place of love.
And logic.
Love and logic. Anyway, it's really great. If you haven't looked into it, check out their website. Check out their Facebook page. And then if there's a training around you anytime, I highly recommend that you go.
Okay. Maybe we should look into doing one here.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Love and Logic on the podcast.
Love and Logic.
Maybe on the podcast. We'll see.
I also recommend Dad is Fat by Jim Gaffigan. Okay. It's a really great book. I think it's a fun glimpse at parenting.
Okay.
All right, so where can you find us?
Hey, if you liked what you heard today, be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or wherever it is that you are choosing to listen to this fine podcast. We hope that you're enjoying what you're hearing, and so be sure to check us out at our website, beyondsundaypodcast.com. And you can send us an email at beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com. You don't need the www for an email address. That's not how. That's,
well, you go www.gmail.com. New email.
That's right. You go to Ask Jeeves and then search, how do I find...
Your email address.
Oh, my goodness. Beyond Sunday Podcast.
I said that.
At gmail.com.
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
just making it clear.
Yeah.
Or you can send to the Lord of Life Church all your bottles of Cranch for Pastor David. Yes.
Please don't do that.
With a nice, pretty bow.
They will go to waste here. They will not be appreciated.
I don't think they'd go to waste. I'm pretty sure there's other people who would use them.